right. Good morning, ladies. We will get started for all of you brave ladies. We're not used to winter yet, so I tell you what, in February, today would be nothing. You know, it'd be like it was a good day. You know, it's funny how things are. But all right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll make a couple of announcements here. Lord, would you bless our time today? Thank you for these ladies that are here. I do pray that you will give me wisdom from above, and Lord, would what we talk about truly meet a specific need by your power? We believe it will. We believe we're here by your direction, so we ask that you'll work now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, most of you, I think they'll probably be mentioning it, but we do have the Thanksgiving dinner today starting at 11:30, and you're certainly welcome to stay for that if you'd like to support the Academy. And they always do a great job, so that's just a fun time of fellowship, but it will be open right at 11:30. So you're welcome to participate in that. Oh, yes, my dear wife. Okay, there we go. Thank you. And then what you see going on in the back here, we are really excited about how it's coming together. Obviously, we need to pray. We have obviously not a good weather day to work, but a lot of work's being done. But I would encourage you, we have flyers, little cards and things out in the lobby of the church auditorium. And I'd encourage you to invite friends and all for it. It really will be nice. I mean, it's going to be having all kinds of crafts for sale. Big food trucks will be here. It's going, obviously, you saw some of the light situation, just a little touch there. That'll be nice. Then the presentation we're doing on the big screen and in the warming tent, the video, you will really enjoy. And it does have the gospel in it. And it has a little moving drama to one of the numbers that is really moving. And the whole thing is tremendous. We'll have, of course, the live nativity a couple of times, starting this Friday, actually. And we also will have the carriage rides. I think that's, I'm not sure, you have to look at the brochure. But just lots of things that will be available. So we're excited about it, but the main purpose, of course, is as a ministry. So encourage you, just invite neighbors. Once you invite them, you know, then it changes the whole equation. They realize it's going to be good, and it really will. You can imagine at nights with all the lights around and everything go. It should be just a really delightful time. It's hour and a half sessions. There are 17 of them. This first Friday, coming up, we're getting filled up on the first session. Can't believe it. We're already over 1,000 people, 1,000 cars have signed up so far for this. The second one on Friday is lower, which is interesting. We're learning something, clearly the earlier time. So if you would like to come and get on to the very beginning of it, Friday second session at 7 o'clock would be the perfect time. We're going to encourage our folks to come to the second sessions right now if you want to come and participate. Obviously, you can participate as a worker and all of that. Anyway, just to give you a heads up on this Friday if you want to do it, or on Saturday, the second session at 7 would be the preferable time. Really, if you're just coming to observe, if you're a member of our church, don't come first time unless you're a worker. We're definitely seeing the trend there. But it gives us options, and it does allow us to, for people that we're able to connect with, we can invite them to stay for the second session, and that way we can even talk to them and so forth. So we're going to learn a lot in the first week. We'll get probably a lot of kinks worked out the first couple of days. But I just wanted to mention that to you. Certainly would appreciate your prayer. I thought, oh man, why can't we just go ahead and do the big Christmas carol and our spectacular Christmas? But with the mood right now of about everything, it was really wise to put it outdoors. And as I mentioned in church, I'm really thankful Menominee Falls is having an outdoor market during the day on on Friday. So clearly the community accepts that, and so that's a positive thing also. So we're thankful. All right, Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me. This chapter is based on the testimony of our author, and I will give some of this testimony because it does provide the groundwork for a proper view of everything we've been talking about, living with victory in the present day, planning for the future, not being worried about the future. A lot of those things we've covered in the last few chapters comes together with her simple testimony. And the verse that we'll be using today is verse 34 of chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The issue is that we can plan, prepare, and all for the future. We dealt with that the last time I spoke. But we cannot allow ourselves to take on the burden of possibilities in the future. That's too great. We're not to take thought. We're not to worry. We're not to be anxious about the future. We are to deal with the challenges of today and realize that God's grace is sufficient for the day. And no matter what you see as might be an impending trial in the future, today is a day that you can have victory. Now, many of us are very concerned about the future in our country. We have seen things revealed in the last several months, actually the last year or two, that are very concerning about the direction of our country and what it means for religious freedom, what it means for a lot of aspects of our country. And I think a lot of believers right now are thinking too much about the morrow and not having victory today. And today's victory will have a great impact on the morrow. There's lots of fears about finances, and frankly, there ought to be. I mean, this is a very unstable time. It has been for quite a while, by the way, you know. But the trends are not good. There's a lot of things to be worried about. But if you live that way and do not have victory and enjoy the day that you are in, your life is just going to whirl by in a, frankly, a cesspool of anxiety, and you're going to not have the energy and the strength to be able to really accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. The Lord did not promise us that the economic situations and the political situations in our countries would be perfect, but He promised us all the grace we needed for every day. And we've got to keep that in mind. Now, I personally believe, because we are very concerned about our country, that we ought to be praying, and that we ought to pray for the fullness of His presence and deliverance in these days. But her whole perspective here, I think, is very applicable right now to the circumstances that we are in. Let me just give you a quick synopsis of her story. Back at the time of Desert Storm, her husband, who was a pharmacist at that time, before that he was a pharmacist, and he had joined the Army Reserves. And he had been in for quite a while. Of course, he had become a pastor in the Lord's work. But he was getting close to being able to take retirement from the Reserves. However, in September of that year, and that was 1990, if any of you remember that, when the Persian Gulf War broke out with Kuwait was invaded. A lot of you wouldn't remember that, but anyway, some of us do remember. And it was a scary time because the United States had not been in a major war for some time. And so we were watching things we had never watched before. Well, that was really concerning to her because he was still in the Reserves. And at first, it didn't seem like any problem would occur. But when the president, that was the first President Bush, addressed the nation on television, he said that it was going to go from Desert Shield to Desert Storm, and that reservists would be called up to fight. Well, these things really obviously brought all kinds of thoughts to her mind. You know, it's one thing about a young man going to war, it's another thing about a married man with children and all the responsibilities to go. And at first, they said, there's no way our unit's going to go. And so they were preparing. And then in October, he kind of came back from a reserve unit time, and they were training now, and they said, we for sure are going, but not immediately. Well, by the time they got to another month, I think it was, his unit was called to California, which is where he's at. And and of course, she's worrying about finances. She's worrying about her husband's life, because everything was really beginning to gear up. You remember all the bombings of Baghdad and all that stuff. And so they were on official alert. Her husband was packed. He had his duffel bag at the door. He could be called up at any time. Can you imagine? Day by day, wondering if this was the day your husband was going to go. Well, one morning, he got a call that he was going to have a temporary assignment, and assignment was, since he was a pastor, to be the family services officer, which would coordinate, as men were being deployed out of the reserves, he would communicate with the families and let them know what was going on step by step. Perfect place for a pastor, you know. And so you have wives crying and calling, and so his wife got involved. And of course, it didn't mean he wasn't going to go, but it just meant that, you know, he had a really neat opportunity for a period of time. And the Lord used that, but it didn't help her anxiety much. It just made it even clearer, because she's helping him counsel all these wives that are just absolutely distraught. Well, then he was going to be called up in March. And the middle of March, and so it was for sure. He spent a couple of months doing what he was doing. And March 6th, 1991, the war was over, 1 week before he was deployed. And so it did not happen for her. But that's from September through March that she was living with the fear of her family, her life, and everything being overturned. And this is when God gave her this perspective that you have to have victory day by day, and you cannot let the future potential defeat your daily walk with God and to accomplish all that God wants to accomplish. This is where your faith that God is in control, that you can trust Him, really comes where the rubber meets the road. So it's a great illustration. She mentioned that really prepared her for potential cancer that she had and other issues that her kids had and other things where they had to wait for future, all of that. But she had a different perspective when she went through those trials, because she realized that God's grace was sufficient for the moment. He gives us the grace that we need. And so she's speaking here from a woman's standpoint, the typical mothering and wife protection, all the things you think about, and those emotions can run pretty high. And she said she remembers just all of the things that, you know, the nation was hurt, the economy was hurt, what was going to happen to them, and God helped her get through that. All right, that's a very quick version of the testimony, but some things that she gives here as points based upon Matthew 6:34, let me read it again. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, for the future. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, God will give you grace to manage it when you get there. Have you ever noticed that things never turn out exactly like you're afraid they're going to turn out? Most of the times, they're better. Sometimes they're worse. But, I mean, the point is, you just can't manage. You can plan, which she's going to talk about that, but you can't worry. Worry doesn't do a bit of good. So, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, we have to deal with the difficulties. Life is not easy, But it's fabulous when we're walking with God. And even the trials of a day can be handled at that time because you're walking with God. But you can't solve the problem that might come up 3 months from now, but you can see God work today. So her points, I think, are very just simple. She said, first of all, as we thought of impending potential problems, one thing you can do in that day other than worry is to prepare. For instance, for them, their financial standing would change because of, I guess he was still working as a, no, I don't know, he was in a ministry. But all of that, meant that they would have less economics. And so they cut their budget. They stopped making major purchases. They didn't use their credit cards. She looked at some ways she could make money. He got it settled with the seminary where he was working about his employment, salary, and job responsibilities. He met with the mortgage company and made sure that all of that would be how to handle and navigate all of that. And also to check with the college where the daughters were at if there was some kind of provision that could be made if there was a crisis. Well, what that did was it was a constructive use of today to solve the problems of tomorrow rather than being fearful of tomorrow. Now, that is such a practical point, but that is so good. You know, if you're going to take energy worrying, turn it into something good. I mean, that's a biblical, make provision and be wise, but don't just wring your hands and allow yourselves to be paralyzed by the worry about what could be. And again, we don't know what could be. She didn't know whether he would go or not, and he didn't go. Praise the Lord. In fact, he had a couple of months of fabulous ministry. That's how God does it. We don't know what's going to happen. I am asking God to step into our country. But regardless, God's going to do some great things in the days ahead. And so we need to make provision, understanding how can we best use our lives for the Lord. But, you know, let's say, for instance, one of the things that is very fearful for ladies is to hear the doctor say, I see a growth in your husband or yourself or one of your children, or it looks like there's some kind of blood disorder here. We're going to have to do a variety of tests. This may take a while to figure this out. And I'm telling you, it can really be just destroyed day after day if you do not handle it the right way. I mean, God knew that before you ever found out about it. And God will just make it a glorious trial if you will trust Him. And the issue is we can't help but have that impending biopsy or operation or whatever out there be over our head. But is God big enough to give you peace? Yes. Is He big enough to give you joy during each day? Yes. If you can really learn to spend time with the Lord and realize that He's in control, you begin to get a sense of optimism about the fact He's going to use this, whether good or bad. And that I'm willing to accept that. And so when something like that happens, you prepare. You know, if there's things that you have to do, some alterations might happen because of what probably is so, what you've been told about. Instead of just wringing our hands, we just need to do as they did and check everything through. We planned, that was the second one. Her husband talked to the daughters at length about what might happen, what he would be doing during deployment, what would happen if he did die. They needed to be prepared for that, what they should do for their mother and so forth. And they discussed every option step by step. And so he made it clear, here's what I want you to do, and here are the things that you will have to do if you hear the worst about me, and this is what I want you to do. If I do get injured, this is what we want to do. Not all this is in here, but I'm sure that's what he talked about. And then what do we do financially and so forth? And honestly, folks, that's what you do with the time that you would waste worrying. Does that make sense? And as you talk honestly about the future, by the way, we don't need to be afraid about the future. Every one of us are going to have negative things happen down the road physically. And you know, there is this thing called death coming. You know, we don't need to be, don't worry about that. I mean, all that is one step into glory, you know. So it's amazing how Satan wants us, that enemy of death. But honestly, it is a doorway into glory. And so don't be afraid, you know, if something comes up. I tell you what, I've walked with so many people through so many crises, and almost all of them never turn out initially in the short term what their people are afraid that it's going to turn out. Now, there may be a long-term trial, but timing, and if it even does occur, you know, normally it's good news, not bad news. And we just need to, but it doesn't hurt to plan. And then, of course, the big one is they prayed. They prayed together. She had a group to pray with her. And they had a group of five that prayed together about this, and that was a comfort to her. Sometimes it's great to have prayer partners when you are facing an impending diagnosis or an impending difficulty in your family, or you know, you're concerned about something. This is a great opportunity to pray. And she had a regular during the time from, I think somewhere in December or whatever, all the way through till March, she had a time that she fasted on a regular basis and just decided to give it to the Lord and didn't interfere with her family, but she wanted to give it to the Lord. And God gave grace day by day. And you can tell if you've read her book, she's very emotional. She's very honest, at least about her emotions. And so this was a great way for her to be able to be encouraged and to not to live in fear. I'm telling you, when you see the Lord, when you meet with Him, fear goes out the door. In fact, we have the command and the principle, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right kind of thinking. And He is not the spirit of fear. So therefore, when the Spirit's in charge, we're okay. Honestly, when I look back at some of the most difficult trials I've had to face personally or ministerially, I look back actually with joy, because those are probably some of the most, the greatest days of peace that I ever experienced. Because you needed it, you were asking for it, and God gave it every time. I wouldn't want to repeat those days, but I certainly look back with fondness during those days, and what God did in my life was just incredible. I mean, I've had joy abounding, unspeakable, come through my life at a time when I should be absolutely overwhelmed with fear or with discouragement, and it's just the grace of God. And I'm telling you, when you look into His face, all is okay. And so if you find anxiety and fear gripping you, it certainly is a wrong perspective on the future, as we've been talking about, but it also is a pretty good indication that you are not meeting with the Lord. Now, one piece of advice. Sometimes people pray, but all they're doing is thinking about their problems. That's no good. Some people will come out of a prayer time worse off than when they started. But the problem is they met with themselves. And meeting with yourself does no good. Okay, it's not a good thing. So fear breeds fear. Ever been there? Sometimes all of a sudden you'll start praying and you're just worried. And you say, stop, start all over. That's why, folks, the pattern of the hour with God really is important when you're in a trial. The first 5 minutes on praise, the next 5 minutes where you meditate on God and are waiting on Him, and then confession, and then spiritual warfare, and then the promises of God, and boy, they'll start coming, and then intercession. You don't get to the problem for 25 minutes. You're getting to God. So don't commiserate. Now, God always wants to hear what we have to say. Aren't you glad? And sometimes I have said, Lord, I'm miserable. Help! You know, I mean, I have to admit, I've had those prayers. But to really meet with the Lord, you got to get the focus off yourself and realize, listen, you're in as good a shape as you've ever been. I mean, God's with you. You know, whenever you have a health problem, I always tell folks, listen, you found out about yours, but we all have them and don't know it. You know, I mean, we're just all a bunch of folks walking around with health problems. I mean, it's just built into our DNA. And so the fact is, you're okay. God's going to take care of you. I mean, I've been with people with issues that should have taken them, and 20 years later, they finally go home to be with the Lord and have had a great time. I mean, it's amazing. It's up to God, not up to man. And but if you're going to be living in anxiety about it all the time, might as well go home. You know, there's no need being around here worrying the whole time. You follow me? That's rather blunt, but I mean, let's rejoice. And it's a wonderful thing. And then we proceeded. In other words, they started going about daily life. You know, they had planned and prepared and everything else. And so as they had given that to the Lord and were praying, with God's grace, she was able to function day by day. And it is really true. She says, quote, "With God's strength and grace, I would be able to function today. I also knew I wouldn't be able to if I gave it into worrying about tomorrow. So I chose to draw near to God and think on His love for me and His promises to care for me. I chose to love Him with all my mind by attempting to keep my thoughts within His prescribed boundary of today and what was true and real. Choosing to love God with my mind," and of course that's our theme, that's why the mind has to be under control, "also helped me limit my emotions, because as you and I both know, thoughts generate emotions." And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. That's a command. You know, some people really get bound by their thoughts. They just, it's like they slide down a slide. Once it starts, they can't stop. That's why you've got to start your day right. That's why you have to get into the habit of not allowing yourself to go to the future, but to be constructive in dealing with that, and ask God to rechannel your brain, to rewire your brain so that you know where to go during the times when thoughts come. And by the way, let me say this, ladies. Many times for people, at about 2 a.m. in the morning, worry can grip you. You can be doing fine all day long, or maybe at 11 o'clock at night, or just before you wake up. You may have a pattern of having fear come during the night. Don't cave into that fear. Do not take that seriously. And you know, one of the best things you can do not to have that happen is have a few minutes with the Lord before you go to bed. Talk to Him. Go over your trust in Him. Be excited about the next day. And get, you know, be listening to good music. Don't be on your cell phone the last half hour. Okay? Seriously. Don't listen to the news for the last few hours. Well, just don't listen to the news. That will help you. I mean, seriously. What you think about in the last hour is what your mind will play on through the night. And you don't have the conscious control over your thinking in the middle of the night like you have during the day. So let's say it did happen. God will protect you. Satan can't do anything to you. You can trust it. And when you get up, get right with the Lord and say, fool you on that. Don't let a nightmare bother you, okay? Just laugh about it. And don't talk to people about it, because then you'll remember it more. That doesn't do any good. So I only mention that because that can happen when you're going through a stressed time. And so they went forward, and I appreciate that. And of course, God wonderfully worked. She mentions about Charlie Brown there in Peanuts, who glumly reports in the cartoon, "I used to take each day as it came, but my philosophy has changed. I'm down to a half a day at a time." not bad philosophical advice, you know. And then she said, by doing it that way, she experienced God's daily provision. He will give us our daily bread. He has never let His own down. He has never forgotten. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His grace is sufficient moment by moment. you will experience times where it would be easy for you to worry about the future. If you will actually take no thought for the morrow and learn that, you are going to be experiencing during those kinds of times that wonderful personal care of God like you cannot experience it in the good times when you don't have much to worry about, which is very rare. But anyway, you know, those kinds of times. And it's a wonderful time to experience God's goodness. So folks, we live in troubled times. But you know, God is living in the ever-present now. What do I mean by that? He is not bound by time. So he's in the future, he was in the past, and he's in the present. I'm taken care of by a God that's not thrown by anything. And anything he allows in my life is perfect. And I've got to respond to it right. It's my response by faith that's going to make the difference. So I can be excited. Today's a great day. You know, everyone has their issues. But those issues do not have to cripple us. Those issues are always a tool of God to really minister to us. Do you believe that? You need to. That's what the Bible teaches. So, we got to get it down. What day do we need to have victory in? Right now. We can work on the future, but it needs to be. So don't worry. Plan, pray, and prepare. But don't, if you're going to worry, have positive use of your time. Don't waste a moment on worry. No one has ever gained anything through worry, right? And the Bible says, don't worry. That's his command. Well, Lord, would you bless these thoughts and just meet needs now. And Lord, would you bless the time of discussion, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.